Jason Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Today, ladies and gents, very special guest kind of co-hosting with me today, and we'll be taking your calls. The number is 218-339-8525. If there's anything that's particularly on your mind, whenever anybody opens up the lines and then is very general about it, basically nobody calls it. So that'll be interesting. But me and Mike always have fun conversations anyway, don't we? Mike Chambers from Mike Chambers Live, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. How you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm getting to... I don't know how to answer that question with brevity.
Well, this is a two-hour program, and you said nobody calls in, so we have plenty of time. step into my parlor, assume your position on the couch, and we can have a therapy session right here, right now.
Oh, sweet Jeebus. See, how am I doing? That's a difficult one. Let me guess. I've got a lot of people who want things from me. Whether to do this, that, and the other. Whether it's in the personal life or online or to do with editing audio or video or something like that.
Right.
Because I've got so many eclectic skills, I'm spreading myself very, very widely
and
in lots of different fields simultaneously. So it's kind of like I'm being stretched thin.
Well, then don't
stretch yourself. And I incidentally lost 5 kilos.
You've lost 5 kilos, which is about what almost, that's 11 pounds.
Yeah.
Wow. Congratulations.
Couple of weeks.
Or is that from not eating?
That's from not eating any junk food. Like, we normally have junk food all around the house, and I'll have some girlfriend, I have some recently, I've just been like, nope. And sometimes I'll get fast food on the way home, and then I'll be like, nah. Just eat an apple or something.
Yeah, eating and cooking at home is so much better for you. It makes you feel better. I know I haven't cooked a lot here lately, and last night I made chicken cacciatore, and a lot of fresh ingredients and stuff went into it. Oh man, it was just like rocking good, and. And so we just like chowed down major big time. I love the kitchen, you know, anything Italian I really like. And so I just had to whip it up last night. And I've been cooking like normally, you know, I used to cook all the time, and I haven't in a while. It's like, yeah, we got to do it tonight. So I went here and chopped my chicken, all 9 yards, and away we went.
Well, I think there is a grand necessity to make, cook, and grow your own food. Like, we've been getting stuck in down the garden now. It's been kind of neglected for a couple of months, like all overgrown with weeds and buttercup and all of
that. We've got part of ours planted, but there's more that we want to do, and we just haven't had the time to do it. And maybe this weekend or next weekend will be the day that we finally get in and get it done. But we're going to have to hurry because it's getting hot here already where I'm at in Oklahoma. It's starting in the upper 80s. We're not even in May yet. I think it's going to be a pretty hot summer, so we need to get a lot of stuff in early so we can not have it all burn up.
Mike?
Yes.
I think the sombrero is going to make a big comeback.
You very well may, yes. Yes, and is it global warming or is it climate change? Or is it none of the above?
Or is it, like, the sun?
Yes. The big yellow ball that sits in the sky during the daytime. I've heard of that, yes.
It's like, bro, I'm walking around and the sun's up and it's really hot. Do I blame my breath for the heat?
No. And at the same time, why is Jupiter hotter? Why is Mars hotter? Why does Pluto all of a sudden, after all these years, have an atmosphere? It's because the sun is hotter.
There's some tripping people out there, man, who have this idea about humanity that it is a bad thing, that we're all very naughty. We need to be taught lessons and so forth.
Yeah, and we need to be brought under, and many of us eliminated, so we can this be a very biodiverse place, and the critters can run, and the land is left just to grow and overgrow and do its thing. And we're just all going to be packed and stacked in a nice little city and worship these little psychopaths and sociopaths that are all pale skin and their eyes very set, very close together, very thin noses, kind of lizard-looking people.
That'll be very scary with a proposition. And you'd think it's out of a sci-fi movie or something like that. But incidentally, the new sci-fi movie Battleship, which I went to see the other day, the creatures have reptilian eyes.
Imagine. Truth is stranger than fiction, isn't it?
And then there was V, for the visitors, you know.
Yes, yes.
And they were reptilian underneath with the teeth and the eyeballs. It's just I don't know. It's really funny because on the one hand they ridicule it, and on the other hand they exacerbate the situation.
Yeah, yeah, but well, I mean, look at everything that's out there that they fund and play both sides. And yeah. Nearly everything, both sides get played.
See, and this is what I'm talking about.
Yeah, you're on the money. Both sides get played every time. I mean, here's, you know, they talk, we're going to have to attack Israel and take or Iran and take care of their nuclear program and get it gone because we want to feel safe. Well, you could feel safe had we not sold arms not only to you, but Saudi Arabia, Egypt, everybody in the Middle East we've sold arms to. Because, yes, also, we like to play both sides.
What's Israel worried about? They got 300 nukes. If Iran develops a nuclear weapon, so what? They can't use it, man. They can't use it because they'll have their entire country turned to dust in an instant.
It's called mutual assured destruction. We called it MAD.
Yeah, I mean, all it means is that you can't just come and attack them straight out anymore,
right?
And not expect recompense.
Exactly. Okay,
I think it just evens the tables here. It's not about giving terrorists a weapon. It's about giving individual sovereign nations the right to defend themselves against aggressive attackers. I mean, we do it. Why aren't other people allowed to do it so that we can attack them?
Yeah,
are we the bad guys here now?
Exactly. What's Iran supposed to sit there and do and say, oh, yes, please come over. Slap us like we're redheaded stepchildren. Please come on. Please do it. We won't do anything. We'll welcome you with open arms. We'll take our beating. Yeah.
See, sure. This is the global government. There is no fracking independence with any countries anymore. There's another thing that's on my mind, Mike, is that I'm going to this protest today against state asset sales. It's called Aotearoa is not for sale. If anybody in New Zealand's actually listened to this live stream or whatever, get on down there at about 3 p.m. today in Auckland. They'll be marching up Queen Street. So the thing that's quite stressing me, Mike, is that I'll be going to this protest and I'll be wailing on the megaphone and I'll be having some fun and there'll be thousands of people there. And then I've got to record it all, hope that nothing goes wrong with my equipment, come home, edit it, upload it. Like I've been doing for the last, you know, goodness knows how many days, I've just got a massive, massive, massive workload, and it's all just getting too much. I'm getting so far behind on everything.
Yeah, you know, you can't pay attention. You can't, don't know which way you're turning. I've been there, done it, got T-shirts.
Yeah.
It sucks, and that's... You know, that's the thing, and you're trying to get it all put together. It's just like, yeah, okay, this would be great if I could. But you know, there's just not enough time in the day for it. You are just one person, Vinny, after all. And what happened to your producer? I thought you had a producer. What happened to your producer?
Oh, I do.
Why isn't the producer producing some of this stuff?
Well, he has to take care of his family, and he has a lot of other responsibilities.
He can only produce in
the background. He's actually doing quite a lot of work, surprisingly.
Because I think, aren't you basically, you're basically the freedom movement in New Zealand, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's you, Vinny Eastwood.
Yeah. You know, not to sound arrogant about it or anything, there are heaps of people in this movement in New Zealand from all across the spectrum. The only reason why I could say that I'm the freedom movement of New Zealand. That does sound very arrogant, though, doesn't it? It's because I get all of those people who represent different parts of the truth movement about vaccines right. or pesticides or anything, global right. warming, whatever, onto this radio show, record it, do video interviews with them, get them uploaded so that other people have access to the very important and very knowledgeable information that they exude.
Well,
I feel that my life has benefited just by talking to these people.
Excellent. Well, and now we can actually call you the New Zealand Big Kahuna.
The New Zealand Big Kahuna. Huh?
That's it, yeah. Well, you're the man. The Big Kahuna of New Zealand.
Righto. Well, the thing is, have a look at the Big Kahuna of any country. And you think about it relative to the size of New Zealand. Okay, New Zealand, small percent, you know, island-chained nation down in the South Pacific. Okay, next to Australia. Right. Australia's like 47 times the size or something like that. New Zealand fits into the United States something like, 35 times or something. It's ridiculous. 4 million people. United States has got like, 400 million?
About 300 million plus, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Have a look at the relative terms here. So even if I am the Big Kahuna of New Zealand, I'm still, at the very least, at most, one-tenth the size of the Big Kahuna of anywhere else. But more likely the bazillionth down the bottom somewhere.
Well, but at least you're in the game. See, that's the important thing.
I did bring something different to the game, don't I?
You do. Yes, you do, indeed. You do bring something new. Well, you bring a different perspective to it, too, see? Where, especially when, you know, you're doing basically what's radio that's American-centric in a lot of ways, you bring a different perspective to it that a lot of us, that we Americans don't see. Because we're, you know, even though many of us claim to be awake, we're very shaded in from the media that we do see. And even the news that we get about what's happening in other countries is very closed off. We know very little. The average American knows very little about what's happening anywhere in the world. They have no clue. Because it's not reported on. It's not even mentioned.
Well, see, that's the same for most New Zealanders. So what it is it's all these people who are myopic, who only have their own point of view, broadcast that point of view, and then the listeners listen to all those points of view, and then they cease to be myopic.
Well, that's a good thing, that they can cease to be myopic. And I think that's the beautiful thing about being able to get in contact with people and then listening to these shows, being able to contact them personally and sit down with them and have these discussions is that, yeah, that it does remove the myopia that people suffer from. And I think that's one of the things that a lot of people around the world have been angry with American people about for a long time is the fact that we are myopic, that we don't really consider about what's going on in other parts of the world, that we don't care. I don't think it's that we don't care. I think it's just we're as a people are just aren't aware of what's going on in, say, New Zealand. Or, I mean, hell, I don't know what's going on in New Zealand. You know, there was a big story. Yeah, I've known about the earthquakes you guys have been having. Like, that's darn near, monthly now?
Oh, you guys are having earthquakes? There's been 7,000 earthquakes in the 2 years since the first quake. It was the second quake that was the really, really big shaker.
Right. Then another one. All of them not huge on the Richter scale, but not very deep. So they were really shook you guys up. But that's what the most I know about New Zealand. That's right. But other parts of the world. You look at look at the news there, and you find out a lot of this stuff has an effect
on
our lives. Yeah, what?
Think about this.
What
does that mean? That by the news coverage that we see of other countries, all we see is those countries in disaster.
Exactly. Essentially, you're correct. I mean, and it'll show the aid flowing in, the whole nine yards, to make us all feel good about ourselves. And then Bill Clinton and George Herbert Walker Bush to get together. That's kind of scary.
So we're always perpetually watching stuff that makes us feel afraid and or guilty.
Yeah.
And then we get the big payoff when we get taxed at the barrel of the gun to help out those people who are brainwashed to feel guilty for.
Right. Yeah, he pretty much summed it up.
See, that's another thing that's on my mind, Mike.
I spent 5 days in a hospital last week. I got a Monday. And yeah, I had an old infection in my leg. They just kind of got crazy. I mean, I got it from a hospital years ago. And it was something that just turned back.
Why did you go back then, man?
Well, it was because I had been treating it myself, and it had just gotten out of hand. And I had to have a lot of fluid removed off of me. And so I'm in the hospital. I'm talking to one lady who was talking politics. I don't watch TV normally. And I had Fox News on there. I said, well, I'm here, so let's see what these yo-yos are doing. So watching Fox News, this lady walks in and she starts commenting on a story. She has three different stories mixed together in all of it, and none of her facts correct about any of the three, but yet she believed it all to be one thing. And that was because Obama was elected, everybody's got guns, and now they're killing people down on the border. That was why. So it's crazy. Crazy. They just have no clue as to what's going on.
Nobody does. We'll be right back after the break at the VinnieAcelShow.com.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Ladies and gentlemen,
some writers and critics who prophesize with your pen.
You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
The chance won't come again, and don't speak too soon.
On AmericanFreedomRadio.com, and I think Bob Dylan was right when he says the chance won't come again because the times they are changing. And
indeed,
sometimes when you're working for change, and you want other people to also be into it, you'll realize that those people aren't quite as into it as I am. They're not really serious.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, you're wondering, you know, when are they going to get their act together? And this happens in a range of situations, and it even happens in the truth movement. This isn't and let me preface this by saying there's no talking down here, there's no insulting or whatever, because I think everybody kind of goes through this phase, and some people may perhaps get stuck, not sure, but there's a line that gets crossed when you're listening to truth radio and you're really figuring out what's really happening in the world from the experts and uncensored truth and what have you. And the impetus then gets put on you, are you actually going to do anything about it? And Mike, you told me a story over the break, and I want to allow you to tell the listeners that. Because I think it's actually quite an interesting point. I want to get into it.
Well, basically, what I was telling you over the break was that that after 6 years of doing this, it'll be 6 years in October and August, and you know, reading the audience and that kind of thing. Basically, what I've come to the conclusion of is that really we want or seek entertainment more than we do change or information, even, and it's like a roller coaster ride. You get on the roller coaster. You want to go do all the loops and ride the ride and puke your guts out, be scared to death, get off the roller coaster, take a breath, and get back on again. I mean, how many times have you ever been to an amusement park? You get on the roller coaster, it scares the daylights out of you. You swear you're not going to ride it. You get down there and, okay, let's go. Let's do it again. And you do it again and again and again and again. And I think there's a lot of what people listen for with this type of radio is that it's pure and utter entertainment. And I guess to a degree that's fine. Because I think there's a small element out there of people who are looking to affect change. And I think we do benefit them. And if nothing else, the seeds are being planted in the minds of those seeking only entertainment. So I think that it's all altogether. I mean, I think we do serve as purpose. And one, we do entertain people. We do keep them company, which I think is an important thing. And it makes their lives, some people's lives, better. And I think it gives inspiration to others to actually go out and do something. That's a small, it's going to be a small number. And I think before we start seeing real change among people, is that there are going to be a number of people going to have their ox gored. It's going to have to be gored really hard before people wake up and say, okay, I don't like this situation. This situation's bad. We have to change it. It'll take something bad. It'll take the roller coaster breaking down before they see what's in front of them.
Yeah, like in Final Destination 3.
So it's sad, and I wish it was different. But we all come at this from a different perspective. And I noticed that one of the things that we were talking with people when I was in the hospital, one guy understood the Federal Reserve, but the rest of the folks that I talked to, the nurses and doctors, were basically just trying to get by day to day. The nurses especially, many of them were still in school, trying to get a degree so they could go up to the next level, get a bit more on the paycheck, that kind of thing. And that's all they were concerned about. Really had no idea what was on the news, other than, you know, stuff going on in the evening, like with American Idol, The Voice, and some other one, Dancing with the Stars. That's all they know about. Because they come home, they're just dead tired. And they sit down and they veg, because they're working one, two jobs, and just don't have time. And if they've got kids, it's even worse. And I think that's a lot of what it has. There's a lot of that's on purpose, because you just wear people out. They just go along with anything. They just acquiesce. And they remain silent. They say nothing. And those that do listen on a regular basis, I think a lot of them are listening for just pure entertainment value. And you, Vinny, are very entertaining and also very informative, I might add.
I think it's really sad, Mike, because I don't know, maybe it comes down to perspective. Maybe the best thing is to have callers, because I find that when you're down and out and you have a lot of difficulty as a radio show host, having faith in yourself, and it's like, I don't know, sometimes you wonder why you're doing it, kind of thing.
Yeah, sure. And, yeah, I understand.
And you start to rationalize and think about how other people view you, and you might be creating this world view. Whereas I find what happens is callers, they shatter that world view every single time, because each and every one of them seems to be this really brilliant, well spoken, kindly educated, and decent person, right?
Right.
That seems to be the kind of callers that call into my show. And it gives me tremendous faith that it doesn't matter how many days I feel like I'm not appreciated or anything like that. I know that there are kindly, decent, well-spoken individuals all over the world that
right.
listen to me, some of which have been listening to me since I started, for years or something.
Well, one of the things I do know in the end is that we win. I just don't know how long it's going to take, when it's going to happen. Will it be my generation? Will it be generations down the road before it happens? I don't have an answer to that. I don't have a crystal ball to be able to determine that, because if that was the case, you and I'd be filling out lotto cards right now, and we'd be not worrying about this. But I don't. And so I just know that, you know, day to day, all you can do is come in and do what you feel is right to do. And it doesn't change the things I talk about. I feel that if I feel something's important to talk about, I don't have a lot of guests on. If I feel it's important to talk about, I talk about it. And if I find a guest that I find interesting, I bring them on. But by and large, it's just me there for 4 hours and just talking about subjects I find interesting and issues that I think that need to be discussed. I think one of the major concerns in this country right now is Homeland Security in America, and how they're literally being given more and more power. Almost on a daily basis, that every time you turn around, there's a new executive order. If you look through Obama's executive orders, nearly every one of those executive orders has Homeland Security included in the mix. That's kind of scary when you sit and think about it, because we're building essentially what amounts to our own Gestapo in what's supposed to be the land of the free and the home of the brave.
I was watching Glee last night, in between ads or something with my wife. I'm just at the call of my wife, which is like, bugger it, she pretty much is. And the girl in the show said, well, at least I'm not living in a FEMA trailer in a prison yard somewhere. What the
fuck? Yeah.
Oh, my God!
Yeah.
Oh, my God. My jaw dropped. It was unbelievable. Me and Sarah just looked at each other. We were like, what the fuck is going on here?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the pieces are there. Here's the thing about this, is it comes down to the way people think. One of the reasons I think why people do miss a lot of it is to understand how these people are, is you have to change your way of thinking. You have to reverse it 180 degrees to realize these people have no empathy, no sympathy at all. The ends justify the means. It's all desires and their agendas. And when they're told no, they're very upset, and they'll do whatever they have to do to turn it to a yes. If that means blowing up countries, if it means killing a million people, they'll do it. It matters not to them. And that's the way they operate. We don't think that way. And I think that's one of the reasons, too, why people don't grasp it. Is because, I mean, who would lie about a war that we started in Iraq that killed over a million Iraqis and, close to 4,000 of our own kids that we know of? Who would lie? Who in the right mind would lie about that? Nobody would. But a psychopath or a sociopath would.
Oh, yeah. And they'd lie without you knowing about it as well.
Exactly. And it all seems so truthful. And they'll stand on the promises that they're, that they're God-fearing people and the whole nine yards. And you think, oh, he's a God-fearing man. We got to go take these people down. Well, then you find out, wait a minute. He says anything he needs to say. I liken it to the high school quarterback. He's got the head cheerleader, the homecoming queen. She's a babe. She's hot. And he'll say anything he needs to say to get her in the back seat of that 67 GTO he's driving. Anything. He'll even up to saying he loves her, that he'll marry her, that he'll respect her in the morning, that they'll go to Denny's afterwards for dinner. It doesn't matter. They'll say anything that needs to be said to accomplish what they want to accomplish. And so, yes, these people will lie. They will say absolutely anything they did. And when their story is found out to be a lie, they just change the story. They don't apologize. They don't try to send it away. They just change the story. The narrative changes. And there's the difference, is that they'll just change the narrative. And, the old lie disappears and a new lie appears. Typical propaganda. I mean, I'm staring at a picture right now from Politico.com. The night that they supposedly got Osama bin Laden was a Sunday night. It was announced about 9 or 10 o'clock here in America. And then all of a sudden, outside the White House, here come all of this spontaneous celebration of the fact that we've killed public enemy number one. I mean, and supposedly they came from a hockey game, but there's like a myriad of American flags there. They're all waving. And somebody happens to have a sign that has the Obama O for the Hope and Change. And the sign says Osama bin Gotten, and it has wanted posters of bin Laden on and pictures of him on it. And somebody had the time to tape all that together and put it down there in a spontaneous demonstration that occurred minutes after it was announced that bin Laden was dead. They lied. And they don't care. They don't care what it means or anything like that. They'll just down and out lie. All to make this guy Barry look good. I mean, it's the only thing this guy's got, and he's clinging to it. Yeah, running new ads about how great he is because he killed Osama bin Laden. Folks, Osama bin Laden died from kidney failure back in 2001.
That's right. It wasn't engine failure. It was kidney failure.
No, exactly. And now there's a guy named Peter Bergen who's writing this book for he's a national security analyst at CNN. And the deal is now they're talking about, all the information they've gotten from the compound is that bin Laden was very vain, that he used just for men hair coloring to keep his hair dark and his beard dark. We get all the pictures we have of him except for one, and one video where he was, he had everything was colored. That was it. And he was taking herbal Viagra to satisfy all of his wives he had there. And that's the story.
How many wives did he have?
I think three there.
Holy cow.
That's about too damn too many, in my opinion. I mean, how do you keep them all straight? How do you keep birthday straight, anniversary straight? It's hard to do. I mean, any man that tries to love two women is wearing a ball and chain. It's awful. I mean, one's enough. One's enough. Trust me. But they make all this stuff up. Oh, we gave him a proper Muslim burial at sea. There is no proper Muslim burial at sea. No.
You're supposed to bury them as soon as possible, 6 feet under the ground, so the animals can't get them in accordance with tradition, man.
Yes, and they need to be aimed towards Mecca. Now, they certainly can't account for that as they dropped him down into the ocean off the USS Carl Vinson. But more likely what happened is if indeed this would have been the truth, they would have dropped him just out of the helicopter. But the thing is, they don't have the guy. They've never had the guy. So they create this story about SEAL Team 6, which supposedly is a group of SEALs that doesn't really exist.
Yeah. The SEALs that don't exist went in to get the guy who was already dead.
Dead, yes.
And then the SEALs who don't exist jump onto one helicopter, all 20 of them or something, when regulations state there's only supposed to be four on a helicopter, and that helicopter goes down in suspicious circumstances, and everybody on board dies.
And who gets a good look at your helicopter, your new stealth helicopter? The Chinese. The Chi-Com's get a good look at it. So all your stealth, all that stuff gone away. But then again, who knows? That might have been a planned exchange of technology. I mean, it would be the first time we've given China technology. I mean, what a better way, under the cover of a supposed raid on bin Laden, you lose your helicopter and boom, the Chi-Coms get it.
All right. Now, speaking of the calls, we have one right here. Area code 425. What's your first name and state you're calling from, please?
Well, I got a nickname. I'm calling from Western Washington. I guess the nickname would be Hijacker.
Are you D.B. Cooper, in fact?
No, not that guy.
No, okay, because I was going to ask you for a loan.
Mike, I've listened to you for a while. I haven't heard you, though. Did you drop out of the radio?
No, I'm still on the radio. I was gone for about a week. I had to do some time in a hospital, so out and about.
I'm sorry, caller, you'll have to wait until after the break. So we've got about 4 minutes or something you'll have to hold on there for. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Evelyn de Rothschild's theme song. Finance Russian oligarchs exploit the Middle East and steal all their oil. Contaminated with depleted uranium, make a quarter of their babies born deformed, and sacrifice them to the dark gods that I serve. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.
Quite a performance, yes. Thank you.
I'm here all week. And we have our caller, Hijacker. Are you still there?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So, sorry we got interrupted by the break, man. Did you have a question or something, or wanted to speak your mind?
Well, I just happened to hear what Mike was talking about, and I know it crushed you, and I know you're coming up against probably one of those valleys that the troopers come into. I've been at this since about 86. I've been pretty much at war, although not really awake until 2005. But when Mike said that you're nothing more than, or the majority of the reason people listen is entertainment, I know that's got to be crushing to somebody like you, Vinny. You're a pretty brilliant guy. There's a lot of truth in what he says.
It cut me deep, eh? And you said it during the break. I said, we just have to talk about this, man.
Right. Well, what I'm calling, this is like a hopeless hope call. And I've been doing this a long time, and I really got to thinking about it. And I've come to the conclusion that the people, the millions, are not able to either comprehend or even believe what the true reality is. I mean, when you really stop and think about what Mike was talking about, people go to work, they're too tired, they come home, they sit. They don't even have, even if they had the desire or the discipline to turn the radio on and to hear the real truth, it's not in them to even believe it. And even if they heard it, they can't comprehend it. So it's the way our minds, you know, are put together. There's only about 2 or 3% of human beings that are actually able even to wake up. And outside of some trauma, like if they go through a war or starvation, then you can wake the mind up. But, you know, there's just different levels of the reality, and the true reality is so horrible and so evil that people, you know, like what Mike was saying, you know, they'll lie to you about anything. These people are a different species. They're subspecies in a species. They're psychopaths. We're a normal person cannot believe that somebody, why somebody would even be a serial killer, that can even, why somebody would harm a child. We're not able to even comprehend it. And to have people that are in color of law or in politics saying that they're doing all these evil things that they did in 9/11, 95% of human beings just cannot believe that. You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah. I watched a movie called The Unknowable Lie the other night. Chris Emery and James Lane and some guys in Oklahoma City put this together about the Oklahoma City bombing from 1995. And I was basically a lifelong resident of Oklahoma City and knew a lot about the bombing. There was some stuff in the movie I didn't realize. But it still hit me very emotionally watching this film. And in they talk about the fact that this was an ATF sting, ATF-FBI sting gone bad. That they either lost control of it or they were part of it in bringing this building down. And killing 168 kids, including almost 20 kids, sitting in a daycare center. And to see that they're repeating this over and over again. This Fast and Furious is the same thing. Here's another ATF, FBI sting, trying to get to the bottom of the drug cartels to grab the guys buying the guns. What happens? We start having our own people killed with the very same guns. It's the same exact thing. And they've not learned one lesson. Nor will they, because why? It works. It works. It scares the hell out of people. And people will ask for change. And they'll throw in that old Hegelian dialectic problem, reaction, solution. And the solution that they have at every turn, it takes more and more of the liberty and freedom away from people. And people, because they're afraid, go along because they assume that that's the only thing that can be done. Because they're told that.
Right. So what are we coming up against? Once we know this truth, we know that the people are not going to wake up. You can take a look around and you can see between singularity, all the different technological breakthroughs, that the people that have control, these megalomaniacs that have control, are going to have control. Somebody said that if you can live just another 10 more years, that you can probably live for 200-300 more years. The technology is just, the nano thing is just breaking. They can build lungs and hearts. And I mean, it's just, all the breakthroughs are coming. So at the end of the day, who are the ones that are in control as man comes into this new dawn? Who's got all the weapons? Who's got the technology? It's these same group of people. That's why it's over for us. That's why I call this the hopeless hope call. So then the question is, what is this life all about? We know we're beat. We know it, within 20, 30 years, we're all going to be chipped. We can see all the cameras going up. We know what's, you know, that movie THX 1138. I don't know if you all remember seeing that.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
That's where we're headed. I don't see how we're going to stop that. So what's it about? And my whole thing is, I think it's about the soul. I think we're here to see what a choice, so to speak, or maybe some type of testing ground, what we're going to do. Are we going to give our soul up? What are we going to do? Because it looks like we're all going to see bodies in the street. We're going to see the power shut off. We're going to see bioweapons used on us. Looks like we're all coming up to really horrendous decisions that we have to personally make, live and die type stuff. And so I'm just give you a call, Denny, and say, you know, this thing's about your soul, and don't get discouraged, because even though what you're doing is not going to have that great of effect, And like I said, I've been at this since 86, 87. I mean, I was the political bomb builder for the Republican Party. I was in that neocon orbit. I did all kinds of stuff for them, including Contract with America. That was new. That was mine. It was really his talk, political oath. I've done one thing after another. George Bush, political oath, when he says I'll restore the oath and dignity of the office. Remember when he ran on that in 2000?
I do, yeah. Right. Limited government, no nation building, yeah, all that, yeah. And everything turned out to be the exact opposite.
Right, freeing Iraq, the democratization of Iraq. I forgot what the little thing I came up with. But anyways, I'm fairly convinced that this is all really spiritual, and it's really how we're going to live our life and the choices we're going to make. And so when you get really discouraged, Vinny, because I know you took a hit when Mike said that you're about entertainment, because you're sitting there risking your life to say, what am I? I'm like a clown on the radio now? Oh, I'm just entertainment?
Well, just imagine what it was like when I came to the realization of it. You know, it's like, whoa, hang on a minute. And it was almost as hard as the whole waking up process all over again. And realizing that that's a huge component of it. And again, it could come to be the fact that there are a lot of people that have gotten used to it, that it's entertainment for them because it's comforting to them, because it's something they're used to hearing. And maybe they're
tired. It makes getting through the days easier.
Yeah, and maybe they're tired. And maybe they're wore out. Because I've had buddies that have been doing this radio thing for a long time that are just tired, and they quit. They're done. They've done everything that they feel they can do. There's nothing else to say. And I got to tell you, there's some days it's tough to get on the air and say things and try to come up with a new way to put it every day, because you've said it all. You've said everything that can be said about this stuff. And so you just look for novel ways to try to approach it. And eventually it's not about hitting everybody. It's about hitting the right ones. And if we get the right ones woke up and aware of what's going on, that's when the changes start happening. And I think, too, is being active in your local communities and starting to affect changes there. If we create what I call islands of freedom, then I think then people will flock to those areas, and there'll be nothing by that time that they can do to stop it.
Well, I can assure islands of freedom will not be New Zealand. hi, Jack. We've got another caller hanging on the line here, but if you want to stay on, that's not a problem. We'll just turn this into a little panel. It's Tim in Washington from Hijacker in West Washington to Tim in Washington, D.C. Welcome up, Tim.
Hey, what's up, Vinny?
Hey, man,
I was just going to listen today, man, and I tell you, the guy had me kind of laughing when you were talking about Osama bin Laden using Just for Men to keep his head black.
Well, he was. That's what they said. That's what the new book says. And if it comes from the mainstream media, you know it's true. Except
man.
Just for Men. Oh. It's Osama's plan right there. There you go. I mean, you want to sell naming rights and sponsorship rights? It's Just for Men, brought to you by Al Qaeda.
Oh man, that was funny. I was sitting laughing for 5-10 minutes off there. Man, that was funny. But you know, we talk all the time, and I agree with you. We talk about this stuff, and I tell people about mind control. People shut down when you bring up subject about mind control. I was talking to a buddy of mine earlier, and we were talking about the cell phone towers that we have in our neighborhood. They're all over the place. And I live near the D.C. area. The cell phone towers are all over the place. We were talking about the mind control methods that I use through the cell phone towers. Not just the propaganda that we see on TV. I was watching the NFL draft yesterday. No, I hear the music.
Yeah, well, if you want to talk about that after the break, you're more than welcome to. And I think what we do is we mute the caller line so you two can actually talk to each other during the break or something. How about them apples? You listen to the Vinny Eastwood Show. If you want to call in and join the conversation, the number is 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. Or you can join us at Facebook. You can go to thevinnyeastwoodshow.com and click on the Facebook button. And you'll go to the Facebook page, and you can, hook up there and what have you. So, yeah, we'll be right back. Ladies and gentlemen, assuredly. with Mike Chambers, any other guests, and call us. Alert the masses. Of the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The caller number is 218-339-8525. I have Mike Chambers with me today, and also we return to our two callers in West Washington, Hijacker, and in Tim in Washington, D.C. Now, what were we talking about before we go into the break? Are you in D.C.-ish? Yes. And what were we talking about? Tim, you were talking about before the break about something. What was it?
Oh, the draft. And I was looking at how the mind control was working with when people were getting certain players go through their team, and they figure like these people are the second coming, you know, because they root for their team and, we're going to get this player and, we're going to be going to the playoffs now. And everybody just... The mind control thing that was going on, I was just pretty much entertained from that.
Because I was trying to broach that subject with Jim Fester yesterday. You know how JFK and 9/11, they happen in front of everybody's face, and yet nobody does anything about it. Like, nothing changes, even though everybody knows that it's a lie. And I speculate that there's a lot of mass mind control going on, and it makes people completely inept in their ability to perceive things and act upon their perceptions.
You find that when you talk to certain people. I got certain people who you can just talk to about sports, or women, or cars, and that might be the further it might go. Then you got something you can talk to about politics or conspiracy. And some people don't want to talk about it. They say, man, they rather I took the blue pill this morning, and they got no room for the red pill. And like, okay, then you really got to let go. You got to just change the subject on.
Well, yeah, that's what it is. It's an info grenade. What you do is you throw it in there. You pull the pin and you throw it in. And then you just back away from it and then just change the subject.
Yeah, I found something. I was looking at something about the CISPR bill. You heard of that?
The what?
It's a new bill they got. President Obama just signed it. CISPA is the cyber intelligence. What do you call
security,
it?
Security, scumbaggery.
Basically, yeah. CISPA, I talked about it on the show today at length. It was passed by the House last night by the party of limited government, by the way, and freedom.
Mm-hmm.
The R's. 248-168 was the final vote. But yeah, this thing is pretty draconian, because what it does is basically gives the government the authority in law to go in and basically monitor everything on the internet. Why do you think they're building this big NSA center out in Utah? I mean, they got to have a big place to go through all the millions, if not billions, of communications that are taking place every day. And there are stories out there that they're building a machine now that will do that.
So CISPA shows the government's chutzpah.
Yeah, basically. I mean, they're basically just saying the Fourth Amendment doesn't matter. Fifth Amendment doesn't matter. They can look into anything, and they can deem anything as national security. It was even so bad that if you broke a terms of service agreement, that you could be considered a hacker. Now, the sense of taking that out, but they made it where it was more. They took that out, and they gave the government more power. in the whole deal.
Yeah, well, basically,
and
so they already got all these supercomputers that already do all that. I mean, I know they're trying to codify it in law, but the fact is that we already live by supercomputers. Most
oh, sure
things
we did.
That are done in the world, even political plays, even campaign agendas, it's all gamed out on supercomputers, and very, very few people have got the capability to actually go up against and play against those supercomputers and alter the agenda, which is the reason why I don't understand the thing about the truth movement. If you've noticed one predictable pattern about the truth movement, it's always about, okay, yeah, you get good information. You're right, Mike, entertainment. But it's just talk. It's talk about this. Nobody seems to be out there getting involved in that world and finding out that those the elite, they work off concepts, strategies, ideas. Whoever has the best one, if you know what their agenda is, if you got a better idea than they got, you can inject that idea into that One World Order High Council, and you can actually alter things. For instance, when I woke up and would come down to McCain and Obama, I said to myself, my God, we got to break this neocon psychology. If a McCain gets in, I mean, we're going to go into Iran. He's a death head. Well, just imagine if McCain had gotten in. We'll have tanks in the street. So I said, Obama's better. Obama's the one who will create a bright line, wake more people up. And besides that, he'll probably scare people, and he'll probably sell a lot more guns. And that's what if I wasn't right. Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
That's what he
did. Yeah. I think a lot of the problem is that the movement itself hasn't advanced. I think it's the way we did radio for a long time. That so much of what was being put out on the radio on a daily basis was to bunker up, get all your crap and hide, wait for Armageddon. It was never, well, what do we do to fix this? And every day it got gloomier and gloomier and gloomier. And to the point where nobody wants to come out. I mean, they're, you know, looking at the gun ports that used to in their houses, they used to be windows. I mean, I knew a guy that when I lived down on this farm that was around the corner from me, that his house, it on the surface, looked like a little log cabin. Below it, the walls were 15 foot thick, and he had a hardened bunker down there. He was rumored to even have a howitzer on the property.
Mm.
And he allowed me into his garage one time. His garage, and you see this little cabin here out front, but his garage, as it descended kind of back into the ground, was over 75 feet long. And he had all manner of power tools, power equipment, you name it. All this stuff was in there, all stacked and packed and ready to go at a moment's notice. And this guy had built his home years ago waiting for something to happen. And still there today. He's got food canned for 5 years. Not that it's going to last, but he's got it. And a lot of people were listening to this stuff years and years ago, and the idea was we bunker up. We don't do anything. We just bunker up. There's nothing we can do. Just bunker up. And I think what happened is instead of getting involved in our local areas and starting to take local areas back, a little here, a little there, we just gave up. And we just started buying our food and all that kind of stuff and waiting for the Armageddon to come in.
I'm just trying to get people into see the lighter side of genocide and to stop being so worried about it and all of that kind of stuff, and just go out and just mess with them anyway and have some fun while you're doing it. Laugh at them, make fun of them. They're useless scum, and they're running your country into the ground.
Well, and
they
here's
are a joke.
And here's the thing. They're not incapable of making mistakes. They're capable of making mistakes, and they have. One of the biggest mistakes was the internet. I know a lot of people said, oh, they did that on purpose. No, they're... We have found each other, and we found each other worldwide, and we found out, guess what? We're not so different, and we can get along, and your idea of one thing and my idea of another, okay, we can set that aside, but we can get along, because really we have the same wants, needs, and desires. That's typical with man. The problem is these people want to keep us back, essentially barefoot and pregnant, because I think they understand that where we stand as a species, and I think we've stood here for about 6,000-7,000 years, because we keep repeating it and playing the same game repeatedly, is that we stand on the precipice of our own evolution. And that if we could get rid of the ideas of war and greed and the lust and the desire to rule over other people, I think we'd move on as a species. And we might find other things open up.
Mike, why do you think that they even let us talk like this? They're such a vast, we're just surface world. There's a vast underground world. There's a vast shadow. They're not even concerned.
Maybe they're not concerned, but it's still a mistake. It's still a mistake that was made. And they can't shut this down now.
It's called hubris.
Yeah. And they can remain so arrogant as to believe that the internet has no power and has no real ability to affect any kind of change. But yeah, obviously there are a number of people who do, because now at every turn they're trying to monitor it and they're trying to find a way to tax it.
Yeah. I mean, and just remember, a lot of the elite are kept in the dark about some of the resistance and all of that stuff that's going on as well. I remember watching that thing with Benjamin Fulford interviewing David Rockefeller. He talked about Ron Paul and said that Ron Paul was going to audit the Fed and everything like that, and there was a bill in Congress. And Rockefeller was absolutely shocked and completely surprised by this. Like, how could he not have known that?
Right.
That is unbelievable. It's because they're being kept in the dark. They've got these sniveling, groveling servants who are afraid of probably getting punished if they bring bad news to the master or something like that.
Well, you know, I mean, case in point, they lied to Hitler. They told Hitler all kinds of things, because if they brought bad news to Hitler, Hitler would have him shot. Hitler was in the bunker commanding make-believe armies, armies that no longer existed, and couldn't figure out why they weren't rushing to save Berlin, because he knew that they were in the field because he had them on the map, because he was told they existed, and in fact they didn't exist. They'd all been defeated, surrendered.
Well, here's a revelation if you want one.
Sure.
But you know, think about somebody waking up or being conscious of what's going on. Think of it like your body right now. None of you are thinking about your body. But in order for the people to wake up, you take and you cut yourself. You cut that body so it hurts. And then you're fully aware of your body. You're fully conscious of what's going on with your body. That's pretty much what has to happen. People actually have to get cut or hurt or harmed in some way. I mean, without me being locked up 24, 26 times and all that, my hellish life that I've gone through, I don't think I could wake up. My kids can't wake up. I can't even wake my own children up. They're not even able to comprehend it. So unless somebody gets hurt or cut or they poverty, lose a house, get their families taken, I don't think people are going to be able to wake up.
No, that's why I said earlier, I think it's going to take a number of oxes being gored before it happens. It's going to have to be right in the living room of people. Before they finally take action and realize we've got to change something, we've got to fix it. Because right now, their checks still cash. Yeah, granted, they're not buying as much as they were. They can still get from point A to point B. There's no roadblocks for the most part, or Viper teams running around. That's going to change. And as long as they're getting groped in the airport, because that's to keep them safe from terrorists. Because you never know what somebody might be packing.
But you know, there's an old saying that people say some people have to die that others may live. And it always seemed like something tragic has to happen before people want to make a change or a revolution.
Well, let me throw another little thing at you. There's already I've seen multiple mentions of this of that for Obama to have an opportunity to win the election, there has to be another 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, it's already being put out. Last voice I heard was Rahm Emanuel, Mr. Crisis himself.
Can't let a good crisis go to waste, huh?
Darn right, yeah. Mm-hmm.
No, but you know, Obama doesn't need that. Obama's got the numbers now. He's got the poor whites. He's got the minorities. He's got the Hispanics. He's got the trade unions. I mean, Obama's got the numbers now.
And he's got this George Soros company counting the votes.
Right. I mean, he's got everything lined up. He's going to crush Romney. Last thing he wants is a Romney as president. I mean, Obama, you can't go into martial law with a black president. You can't mix those political chemicals. You just can't do it. They have to have Romney get in there. And Obama's got enough power where he could crush Romney. So, I mean, we should be pushing for Obama. At least the checks keep going out. You know, my whole thing now is buying time, delaying things. So I know what the end's going to be. But as much time as I can buy with the hope that something will happen and all of a sudden there'll be a mass 100-month monkey awakening. So I'm for Obama.
I really wish we could get at least one or two states just to completely bow up and say, I'm sorry, You get no more money from us. We're no longer complying. You're no longer welcome inside the borders. You get out. And I guarantee you that people would start moving to those states quickly and rapidly. Because they would be open, they would be friendly to people to have a business, to make a living, to build a life for themselves. Minimal regulations, minimal law on the books, and let people live their lives the way that they were intended to live them. Free people.
Mike will set a bomb off. They won't let you do that. These people, if you corner the George Bush types, they will set off a nuclear bomb in the city. No question about it.
Oh, they're crazy. Yeah.
Well, they are crazy. I mean, they you're right. I mean, they're psychopaths. And they hate being told
no.
The
thing is, actually, they won't do it themselves.
We're going to tell them no.
They won't do it themselves.
Right. Yeah,
they'll order somebody to do it, and that somebody will say, this guy's fracking crazy. I'm not going to nuke a city. And they won't do it. Anyway, we have another caller calling in. Hijacker or Tim, do you have anything further to say, guys? Or?
Yeah, I'm going to knock this, see if I can knock this out the park right quick. I still say President Obama is there to lull people to sleep because people are still drinking the Kool-Aid. And while behind closed doors, they're still passing these House bills that are constitutional. And as long as you have an Obama in the office, these bills are going to still come through the back door, and they're going to focus on him. He's going on late-night shows and all making all these appearances. And that's the game that they're playing. It's called diversion by keeping him in office.
Yeah, and you got to hear, Barry hanging out at the ball game, the whole nine yards. Everybody, hey, he's cool. He's the coolest president we've ever had. Might even I'll invite you over for a beer.
Barry reminds me of my prime minister, John Key. They're basically economic hitmen, and the reason why they're both going to get reelected is because the countries that they were sent to destroy aren't finished yet.
No, there's still stuff left to steal. There's still stuff that's locked down, nailed down, that is waiting to be stolen. That's why the whole thing hasn't blown up. Once they've stolen everything they can steal, then it's done.
Yeah. Okay.
Thank you, Vinny. Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Our other caller in 774, you're going to have to wait till after the break. Tim and Hijacker, thanks, guys.
Thank you. Have a good weekend, man.
Hey, you too. Great calls, guys.
Fabulous calls. And that's the thing that you really got to love about being a radio show host. And that's something George Norrie told me, is that you got to talk to the people, man.
Yeah,
because that's right. If you're not on the ground level and talking to real people, you're all the way up here, and you lose touch. And
you do, you very become much
some
so.
Form. You become some form of douchebag.
Yeah.
We'll be right back after the break, ladies and gentlemen. At thevinnyeastwoodshow.com.
Yeah, yeah, and no one like me, yeah, yeah, yeah. Congratulations, you made it. Welcome to the Crusader. It's been a long time coming, yo.
Yeah,
but I'm here now. So what you want to do?
Huh?
How many dudes you really know? Flow like this, like this, like this. Let's do it. How many dudes you know vote like this? How many dudes you know flow like this? Not many, if any. Not many, if any. How many dudes you know got the skills to go and rock a show like this? I don't know anybody. Check, check to the mic, check. A 1-2 from a crew coming through. Are you hype yet? Nowadays, everybody wanna talk, but we got some no scribe. Ain't got nothing when I'm up in the live. It came from when you feeling the vibe. You know,
welcome
scribe
back, ladies and gentlemen.
The double bass, vibration.
To the Vinny Eastwood Show.
Like a RS, super rude,
broadcasting live on American Freedom Radio, bro. Keeping it ninja. Keeping it gangster. Like an original prankster and such. Hey, everybody. Caller number is 218-339-8525. The other person who called in from the 774 area code, I think. Hang up. Please ring back if you can. Mike.
Yes.
This whole concept of fighting a long war,
Okay, and this exists in the truth movement. Okay, you got people in the truth movement been fighting for a long time. And to be honest, Mike, I have never had a job where I've been in it for more than a year or so doing the same thing. It always has to be either be a really fast changing environment or I just leave. And this, you know, going around filming protests, uploading stuff, talking to activists, investigating scumbaggery. It's the only thing that's really caught my attention. I've been doing it for like 4 years, and I was just wondering where the heck are those 4 years gone? I'm a radically different person now.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, if nothing else, I've changed as an individual in so many ways that when I began looking at this stuff in 2005, I'm nowhere near that same person I was in 2005. I mean, I find that I'm a better person now. I'm more thoughtful of those around me, thinking about, you know, and I find myself thinking more and looking at the future. And I'm 46 and I'm still a young guy. But the question I ask myself on a regular basis is, what kind of legacy you want to leave? What are you going to put back here to make this place better? And I think maybe that's the one thing that does drive me to do it on a regular basis, even though you know that a lot of it is just strictly entertainment, and that's fine in the end. Because I'll dance. I don't mind dancing. It's just fine. I just, you know, stick some ones in my thong, and I'll be fine. But so I don't mind. But yeah, I'm a much better for a person out of all of this. So if nothing else, at a personal level, it's been completely worth it. But yeah, the time does go by. You sit and think about 6 years that's flown by. But really, in the grand scheme of things, you sit and think, well, you know, I've done it for almost 6 years. That means I've talked to tens of thousands of people, if not more, in that time. And the other thing, too, I thought there was a time when we weren't getting noticed. But I remember one night when I was doing my late night show on another network. I made a quotation. It was when Ed and Lane Brown were arrested. The next morning, it's on the AP wire. It's going across the country. I get an email from somebody about 9 o'clock in the morning. I just happened to wake up early after the show, and I'm there. And they said, "You got to see this." And there it was, my quotes from my show the night before, verbatim from AP about the whole deal back in 2007. And I was amazed that somebody reported. So yeah, some people do get it. Some people get the information, and I get emails from people saying thank you. And a lot of times there are people who are saying I was ready to give up, and you've inspired me to continue on, because all I want to do is empower people and give people the idea and the knowledge that even the small things are important. Even putting your own garden in, just deciding that you're going to take care of your own health, your own food, that's a step. And for a lot of people, it's a huge step, but it's a step nonetheless that starts you down that road. So it's never hopeless. As long as there's one person that believes in the ideals of a liberty and freedom, we're going to win. And you're not going to stamp it out of everybody, because it will linger on. And it'll pass from generation to generation. Although a lot of it will be done in back rooms and quietly. But it'll happen. And eventually we do win. I just don't know when. And I wish we had had an easy solution to it, of how to fix it right now. But the problem is, these people have had 150 years to entrench themselves inside of our government, inside of the government here in the United States and around the world even, to make it so difficult to try to fix it. Here's the idea, Mike.
Okay. I think when we worry about it, we worry about it large scale. We think, what can I do against the entire New World Order and every single apparatus? As opposed to, have you ever seen a movie where they're like trying to get attack a massive mechanical spider or something like that, and they all work together and they all take out one leg and they bring that massive spider down?
Mm-hmm.
All right, so that's how you got to think about it. What am I actually good at, and how can I contribute? Not whether or not I alone can take on the New World Order and defeat them and, you know, go Rambo style and I'll have my bunker and my Patriot snuggie with 14 years of dried food. It's just, come on, think about this. If you are one person, there's a limit to what you can do, but not many limits. There's a hell of a lot that one person can do. If you are two people working together, much more so. If you're three, much more so. That's why when they pass a lot of draconian legislation, part of it is that people aren't allowed to travel in groups of more than three or four or something of that nature. They don't want people to have any power or ability to discuss things in kind of wider groups because they had a suffocation on information. And in so doing, you stopped people from talking to each other in a lot of ways. And that sure. allowed everyone to feel like they were separate from each other, like they could just let each other go and it wouldn't matter at all to them. Now, we have a caller here, area code 847. What's the name and what's your first name and state you're calling from, please? Hello?
This is Mojo again.
Mojo!
Yeah, how you doing, Vinny?
I'm doing good, man. What state are you calling from?
Illinois, the land of noise.
It's Mojo and his dojo.
That's right.
Yes.
Got a kung fu lesson for us, do you, Mojo, from your broadcasting live from your dojo?
Absolutely. Ready to kick butt.
Lay it on me, buddy.
Well, it's an interesting conversation today. It seems like there's some concern about whether or not public awareness is there as far as people being awake to what's going on. And I do agree to a certain extent with the other gentleman that was on. He had indicated that when he tries to broach the subject with friends and family where they kind of try and table the subject, that especially what I find is when people aren't knowledgeable, they have a tendency to shy away from things that they're not knowledgeable about. And that's typically the ego kicking in. That's what I find. Most people tend to focus on basketball and all the distractions that are in our society today because they don't have the knowledge. And the sad part about it, though, and this is part where I fault them, is that people don't want to take the time to really dig into things to see what's going on. They want to be spoon-fed what they see on CNN and Fox and believe that what they're seeing is the truth. And the thing is, how do we get, you know, our friends and family to become more participatory in these processes or what's going on around them? What do you guys think?
Well, I think that we're all immersed in those processes that are going on around them. So every now and again, you just mention something, and if they react or don't react, just don't push it any further. Just every now and again, just so it's not in their face, and eventually they start coming around because you're not trying to force it on them. Because what happens is when people are clinging to a belief structure, they'll come and attack the person who's destroying their belief structure. You don't want that person to be you. You want that person to be them. You give them a little bit of information. They eventually may start thinking about it, and that thought destroys their belief structure, not you. So they become more open. They start to see that they may have been wrong. They start to feel that sort of that rush of trauma that we all felt when we realized that everything was a lie. That is what happens when you wake up. It is a traumatic experience to recognize that your entire life and everything about it, everything that you'd thought was just BS the whole time, because you got to start again.
Yeah, and it goes, you know, and a lot of what we talk about, you know, goes so against the grain of what is in the minds of people and what they think. And I know when I first started doing this, I had family members saying, maybe you ought to have a psychological exam. What's wrong with you? Then when we get about 2008, 2009, and their pensions start dying, all of a sudden right. They realize, wait a minute, he was right. And I have the luxury of doing a program so they can tune into it if they wish. And occasionally they'll ask me what I've been talking about on the show. Like, then I can broach the subject with them that way. But I made a decision early on, after talking with people who had difficulty reaching family members with a lot of this, that I realized I'm just not going to do it because the family relationships were more important than the information itself. That blood relationship is very important. You just don't ever break the bond with your blood. I just won't do it. and felt right. that it was better just to let it emerge as it has. And as I was sitting outside, in the case of my mom, we were sitting outside on her patio one day, and she started asking about this was 2008. She started asking about the election, and I started talking about history, and I demonstrated to her how the same people have financed every one of these elections. They're the same people. It's been the same people for the last 100 years that have been playing the huge role in what happens here in America. And once I laid the history out for her, and she looked at me and she said, "So there's not a dime's worth of difference between any of them." I said, "No, not at all." And after that, she got it.
Two-party dictatorship.
Yeah, that's exactly what we have. Taxation without representation. A lot of people, and I use that term a lot now. Taxation without representation, because this is exactly what we have. We have come full circle as to what those American colonists experienced in 1750s and 1760s that finally led them to pick up guns in 1776. We're experiencing the same things. Now, I don't think we have done everything we possibly can peacefully to affect change. And I think we got to affect them in our own burgs. And we got to have strong sheriffs. We're going to have strong county officers, strong sheriffs that have put a posse together of like-minded people that are ready to say, okay, you're going to come cause a problem, we're going to back you up. And there's a lot of sheriffs out here in America that don't know about the fact that they can create their own posse.
No, they don't. And I think that's intentional, though. That's oh, sure. part of the problem is sure. that these guys, allow themselves, I guess, unknowingly to be brainwashed by the system.
And I think some people draw certain basic assumptions. It's like, I remember the first time I ever filled out an income tax form. Why did I do it? Because my dad told me I needed to. I was 16 years old, first started working. And I got my little W-2 at work and brought it home. And my dad says, "Son, you need to fill out your taxes here." Why? I didn't ask if it was legal. I didn't ask if it was necessary. I just assumed everything was hunky-dory because Dad said it was. That everything was right. fine because Dad filled his out. I guess I better fill mine out, too. But no, never a question asked.
Right. Societal conditioning.
Yeah, we assume it's to be that way, yes.
I find this interesting, though. Despite the huge, and nobody can deny, the huge influence of mass media control and all the fluoride and the aspartame and all of these various eclectic things that have been put into our bodies and into our minds and into our souls to keep us disconnected from, you know, just being logical and a decent human being. Despite all that stuff, here we are, decent human beings, with our fingers up in defiance.
Yes.
Okay? It doesn't matter how long they've planned for it. No plan, as I think it was Sun Tzu said this, no battle plan has ever survived a battle. And these people are going to recognize what that means soon enough.
Yes, yeah. I believe that.
Yeah, and I think the other thing that we're going to be preparing for that initial battle. That's why I'm saying that we got to start building our strong cities, strong towns, strong counties. And eventually start building strong states again, where these states are no longer milquetoast. The federal government was given a very finite set of job duties, and they violate them all. And what they are supposed to do, they don't do. They do everything else, and they do it bad. And it's just up to the states now to say, "Hey, I don't need your money anymore, Uncle Suck. We're going to take this here. We're going to deal with it ourselves. And when you come up with legislation and stuff that is out to lunch, we're going to nullify it. Period. End of story. And if you don't like that, well, kiss our ass. We're gone."
Well, the question is the question I have about that, though, is how many of our state leadership is being blackmailed, bribed, or put under duress by threats to conform to this corrupt leadership that we're under?
I would think in some states that's the case. I know here in Oklahoma, the ideas of liberty and freedom here are starting to catch on. Open carry begins November 1st here in America. That's awesome. The start of it. Yeah, that's just the start of it.
All right. After the break, ladies and gentlemen, final segment. So this, if you want to call in, this is your last chance. 218-339-8525. That's 218-339-8525. We'll be right back. you've enjoyed yourself so far. You know, you call it the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, and a lot of the time it's true because we come to the end of the show. It's like, man, I wish we could continue on for like another hour or two or something, man, you know? You feel like you got it in you? Maybe that might be a bit of the old Yiddish chutzpah. Hijacker in West Washington has called back in, and also Heather in Georgia, you called in but then hung up, so if you want to call back in, please. Please do. Hi, Jacker. Welcome back. What's up, man?
Then I just called back. Was that Mark from Oregon who was the other caller?
No.
Who just called in?
No, he was from Illinois. He was from Illinois.
Yeah. The land of noise.
Oh, I see. I thought I recognized his voice. Once in a while, you hear different people, for people who track, alternative radio. Once in a while, you hear somebody call in, and they think so clear, and you just wish, how can I get a hold of that person? Anyways, this guy Mark out of Oregon, he's a real good thinker, and I thought that he was the one that called in, and I was just trying to get his number or something. I hated to make the show so personal, but I've been trying to get this guy for a while. You may have known him. He calls in different ones. So you may know who I'm talking about, but that's sort of the reason I called back in.
Yeah. Well, trying to find Mark in Oregon, that's a tough one, eh, Mike? How do you find people who call into talk radio? Like, I'll listen to talk radio in New Zealand, and I'll hear people that call in regularly. You hear the same people, right? And there's no way you can really locate them, is there?
Well, there's not, other than just saying, hey, you know, I'm so-and-so, here's my email address, so-and-so, contact me, please. That'd be the easiest way, the best way to start doing it. That way you've got an email, they can contact you, and you can go from there and find out whether you want to hook up with them or not. Because, it's potluck with a lot of folks, because there are some who are great thinkers, and there are also some people who are fracking nuts.
Oh, so true.
Me, we're so disorganized. I mean, there's solutions for everything. Even like your show, Mike, you're probably underfunded. I don't think there's any alternative talk radio truth teller that's really funded. So you got all of these radios.
Other than Jones. Jones is the only one who has really any funding, good funding at all, as far as the money's concerned. But Ali's got a 12-year head start on all of us.
Well, he's got benefactors, and also he's a high-level gatekeeper. I mean, there's levels of... You know, there's only so far that he'll take people, and I don't blame Jones at all. He's top of his game. He's pretty much the king, but he can't go much further than he goes, or he'll get killed. So he kind of got to stop.
Probably.
You know.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I mean, most of us, you know, owe something to him, and the fact that you know he was responsible for at least part of my waking up experience, and I know that that's been the case for a number of people. Then a lot of people, you know, denigrate him and are down on him. I don't like everything he does, but he does his thing and I do mine. So, right now he's the top of the heap.
Well, Jones is like making it to second base. I mean, that's like your hand finally got up underneath the girl's shirt. I think everybody is.
It's like Jack Blood said about Jones. He's right because he went to raise capital. Money so that you could build all this other apparatus and everything like that to charge for some things for people who want to chip in extra and to get sponsorship and all that kind of stuff. You know, equipment, radio is pretty expensive. And it was probably listening to Mike Rupert first and then maybe getting into Alex Jones much later on that actually kind of got me fired up and started doing what I'm doing down here in New Zealand, like that and Luke Rutkowski and a number of other documentary filmmakers. But, you know, principally it was an everyday thing. And it comes to mind that you're either going to hear it and do something or you're going to hear it and use it as an excuse to shut off.
Yeah, well, Alex Jones, he's like a Spock. He has a whole way of thinking, and once he does a Vulcan mind melt with you, then he can open your mind up as to how to correctly think.
Right.
And I think he really breaks that. I think he breaks the way a person normally would think to a whole new way of thinking. And I think that's his
big... I refer to him in a positive light as a gateway drug of the truth movement kind of thing.
I think so. He's been referred to that quite often, as that quite often. Hmm. And that very well may be an apt description of what he is. And then others, that once they come along, want to find other things out. That's what they use him for. I do that to some degree as well. Try not to be as heavy on things as, you know, someone like in the evening might with some things, because I know there are people listening to the office and things. Mm-hmm. And so I try to mitigate it a little bit. But then again, you know, he talks and hollers about being a spider and that they're ready to kill us all. So maybe I should be screaming too. I don't know. I think part of it, he's figured out a formula that works for him. And I think
Everybody's got to figure out their own formula and really apply themselves. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for your call. We're going to go now to Joe in L.A. Welcome to the show, man.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Well, good. How are you?
Sweet.
Good. My name is Joe from Los Angeles. This is my second time calling. I just want to say to Hijacker, don't give up hope, brother, because just talking to people makes a big difference in this life. And this is a spiritual challenge, even for those who aren't spiritual, because it's about being a good person and being a person of conscience and just raising awareness. And we're winning. We're going to win this game. So... I know it gets daunting knowing what we're up against, but in the end, the people who are fighting, they fear us all talking to each other, and that's why they lie to us so much. And so I have hope, you know. 17 years ago, I started finding all this stuff out, and then after 9/11, I pretty much lost hope. And since 9/11, you know, here we are. We're talking from all across the world, talking to each other. And the truth is becoming the new reality. We're not going to be living in this false reality much longer, because we are reaching a 100th monkey, as they say.
I think that there's enormous hope, right? And I see it every single day. Every day I meet somebody that's talented or brilliant. Basically, I try to find people who are better than me in some way, who I look up to, so that I can enrich my life by being around them. You know, Mike, that includes you, and a lot of the callers. You know, people like yourself, Joe. I find that almost everybody can do something a little bit better than I can, that I can learn from and feel better about myself just by talking to, just by experiencing contact with them. And I find that the best thing to do to make sure that you don't, you know, get down and out or whatever, is to hang out with lots of different types of people, okay? Diversity is key. You've got to... for example, I hang out with music crowds and clubbing crowds and other people, and you know, it's a good idea to make sure that you have a diversity of people in your life, because after all, sometimes things can go awry in really important parts of your life, and if you don't have other important parts of your life to fall back on, then you're left out in the cold.
I agree.
Balancing your equations here.
I think sometimes it's good too when you do get overwhelmed when you're hearing all these new laws being passed and all the stuff that's going on in our world. So sometimes just to take a break from it and do that, just exactly what you said, go hang out with friends, go party, enjoy life, get some sun, just enjoy the day for what it is. And, you know, no matter how long it takes, you get back into the fight. You're reinvigorated, and just by talking to new coworkers and people, wherever I meet them, you know, more and more people already know. So to me, it's like I have nothing but hope. You know, even, you know, so they might take us out, but my concern is not for my own life; it's for the future of my future children. Hopefully, one day I will have children. I don't want them to have to live with the world the way it is today. And if we don't do anything, then we're basically as bad as the people who are doing it to us. So Yeah. We're going to win this. The New World Order knows we're going to win this game, so this is our game to lose. So I just want to thank you guys again. Your guest is pretty entertaining as well, so thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah, you know,
thanks for calling. Thanks for calling in, Joe, because, you know, I do hope to have kids myself someday, you know, and I hope for both our sakes that we don't get sterilized by Bill Gates. Michael, sorry, what were you going to say?
I was going to say, you know, sometimes you just got to get away from it. So basically, take off the flannel shirt, take a shower, shave your face, and go get laid. Just get away from it for a while. Think of something else.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're at work and you're working really, really hard, it helps if you have a little break, doesn't it?
Yes.
Because then you can get back to work, can't you? I mean, come on, the same principle applies here. I know being a truther is very interesting, and I know you want to overwork yourself, but don't do it because you'll then burn yourself out, then you won't be much use to anybody. All right? You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show. Sage advice out of whim is what we do. And we'll see you again sometime, folks. You can check out the archives at AmericanFreedomRadio.com and the VinnyEastwoodShow.com.